Exodus chapter 21, verse 28, all the way to chapter 22, verse 15. This is the reading of God's word. If an ox gores a man or woman to death, the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall go unpunished. If, however, an ox was previously in the habit of goring, and its owner has been warned, yet he does not confine it, and it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner shall be put to death. If a ransom is demanded of him, then he shall give for the redemption of his life whatever is demanded of him. Whether he gores a son or a daughter, it shall be done to him according to the same rule. If the ox gores a male or female slave, the owner shall give his or her master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. If a man opens a pit or digs a pit and does not cover it over, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make restitution. He shall give money to its owner, and the dead animal shall become his. If one man's ox hurts another's, so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide its price equally. And also they shall divide the dead ox. Or if it is known that the ox was previously in the habit of goring, yet its owner has not confined it, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and that animal shall become his. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. If the thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. But if the sun has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account. He shall surely make restitution. If he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If what he stole is actually found alive in his possession, whether an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall pay double. If a man lets a field or vineyard be grazed bare and lets his animal loose so that it grazes in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If a fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes so that stacked grain or the standing grain or the field itself is consumed, he who started the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man gives his neighbor money or goods to keep for him, and it is stolen from the man's house, if the thief is caught, he shall pay double. If the thief is not caught, then the owner of the house shall appear before the judges to determine whether he laid his hands on his neighbor's property. For every breach of trust, whether it is for ox, for donkey, for a sheep, for clothing, or for any lost thing about which one says, "This is it," the case of both parties shall come before the judges. He whom the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. If a man gives his neighbor a donkey or an ox, a sheep, or any animals to keep for him, and it dies or is hurt or is driven away while no one is looking, an oath before the Lord shall be made by the two of them that he had not laid hands on his neighbor's property. And its owner shall accept it, and he shall not make restitution. But if it is actually stolen from him, he shall make restitution to his owner. If it is all torn to pieces, let him bring it as evidence. He shall not make restitution for what has been torn to pieces. If a man borrows anything from his neighbor and it is injured or dies while its owner is not with it, he shall make full restitution. If his owner is with it, he shall not make restitution. If it is hired, it came for its hire. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you will grant all of us an ear to hear your word. As we hear your word, we pray that our faith will grow and that we will be able to be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that your word will be preached correctly, and let us who are hearing your word, let us understand and let us believe and let us obey. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we are looking at these laws, let us remind ourselves what Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says. It says, "Therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith." So even these laws are the purpose of these laws for us. These will lead us to Christ. And we are not going to look at these laws in detail today, but we'll try to understand the general principles of these laws and how those principles are related to our Lord Jesus Christ and his redemptive works. We begin chapter 21, verse 28. "If an ox gores a man or woman to death, the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall go unpunished." Well, if an ox kills a man or woman, then the ox must be stoned to death. And his flesh must not be eaten, and the owner is unpunished. We are reminded of what Genesis chapter 9, verse 5 and 6 says, "Surely I will require your life blood. From every beast I will require it. And from every man, from every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man." Here we have a case in which an animal kills a man. This is completely going against the order that God has put in this world. Do you remember what God said to Adam and in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" After God creates Adam and Eve, he commands this to them. You see, as a result of sin, this order has been collapsed. Man is commanded to rule over animals. And here we see animal killing a man. We do remember that the very first sin was exactly this, reversing the order that God has put in his creation. Adam and Eve completely ignoring the will of God and obey the serpent, a snake. Again, they are commanded to rule over animals, and yet here Adam and Eve obeying an animal. Rather than ruling over the animal, they obey it. "The flesh of the ox that killed a man must not be eaten." An ox is a clean animal that the people of God were able to eat. But when it kills a man, then it becomes an unclean animal. As we see these things happen in the land of the Canaan, the promised land, we are able to conclude that the promised land in the Old Testament was not the eternal promised land, which is heaven. Because in heaven, these order that God has commanded will be perfectly observed. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 through 9. In this passage, the heaven is described in the earthly language. It says, "And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together. And a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the winged child will put his hand in the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." See, we could see here in Isaiah 11, the order of God that we saw in Genesis has been restored. In heaven, nothing is unclean and nothing will become unclean. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 13. "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him, and a voice came out of the heavens, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.' Immediately the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angel were ministering to him." In that Mark passage, what do we see? Jesus is being tempted by Satan, but Jesus is victorious. Thus, we see a picture of heaven, a picture of God's order being restored. He was with the wild beasts. When the first Adam sinned, ignoring the God's order, the angels blocked him from approaching the tree of life. But here we see the second Adam, who is victorious against the temptation of Satan. Here we read the angels were ministering him. Again, we see the order of God being restored. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says this of the angels: "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" So from these kind of incidences, we see a picture of heaven, and how the order of God has been restored by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 29 in our Exodus passage: "If, however, an ox was previously in the habit of goring, and its owner has been warned, yet he does not confine it, and it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, its owner also shall be put to death. In this case, the law finds owner guilty of murder, because he knew what his ox could do, and yet he just didn't do anything about it. But however, verse 30 says, if a ransom is demanded of him, then he shall give for the redemption of his life whatever is demanded of him." We see then here the principle of saving one's life by paying a ransom. This is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He is our ransom for our lives. Mark chapter 10 verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." This ransom is determined by the family of the one who is killed. Verse 31, Whether it gores a son or a daughter, it shall be done to him according to the same rule. Verse 32, if the ox gores a male or female slave, the owner shall give his or her master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Again, we see a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ who came as a slave, came as a servant. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 says, but Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men. And Jesus' death is described in many Psalms as a death by animals. Psalm 22, verse 18 makes it clear that Psalm 22 is a psalm about our Lord Jesus Christ. And this psalm describes the death of our Lord this way. Verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Verse 12, many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. Verse 13, they open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. Verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. And verse 21, save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of wild oxen, you answer me. So Jesus' death is described as a death through the strike of a bull in these Psalms. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 through 16, then one of the 12 named Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me to betray him to you? And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. So you see, Jesus was sold at the price of a slave. 30 pieces of silver. The amount that Judas received for selling Jesus is exactly that amount that we are looking at in our passage in Exodus. It was used to buy a grave site, and that is a picture of God's judgment, death. Let's move on. Verses 33 and 34. If a man opens a pit or digs a pit and does not cover it over, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make restitution. He shall give money to his owner, and the dead animal shall become his. Verse 35 and 36, if one man's ox hurts another's so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide its price equally, and also they shall divide the dead ox. Or if it is known that the ox was previously in the habit of goring, yet its owner has not confined it, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall become his. See, if an ox kills another ox which belongs to the other owner, then it is treated differently from the case where an ox kills a man. And obviously, and we see that principle here, because man is made in the image of God, whereas the animals are not. Let's move on to chapter 22. Verse 1 through 15 is about the laws concerning the property rights. Let me read to you verse 1 through 4. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. If the thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. But if the sun has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account. He shall surely make restitution. If he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If what he stole is actually found alive in his possession, whether an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall pay double. Here we see the principle of restitution. Simply put, you must pay double. Yes, verse 1, slaughters it or sells it, is compared with verse 4, found alive in his possession. In verse 1, it is clear that the thief had no intention of giving it back because it was already slaughtered and already sold. Thus, in case of ox, pay back 5 times, and in case of sheep, pay back 4 times. But usual restitution is double, as we read in our passage. And if the thief is killed while breaking in during the night time, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. But the thief must not be killed if he breaks in during the daytime, because the owner can see who the thief is. If the thief cannot pay back, then he shall be sold for his theft. You see, no sin is overlooked here. God cannot just overlook our sins. He is a righteous judge, and we must pay for our sins. He judges every sin. But the good news is that he has judged all our sins in Jesus Christ on the cross. See, you and I, we must remember from this principle of restitution that God does not just forgive our sins. You know, some people think that at the end God will look at all these sinners and they go, okay, I forgive you. No, that is not what is going to happen. God has to judge every sin. But he judged our sins in Jesus Christ. Let me just read to you the rest of our passage from verse 5 to 15 quickly. If a man lets a field or vineyard be grazed bare and lets his animal loose so that it grazes in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If a fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes, so that stacked grain or the standing grain or the field itself is consumed, he who started the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man gives his neighbor money or goods to keep for him, meaning safekeeping, if man gives his neighbor money or goods for safekeeping, and it is stolen from the man's house, if the thief is caught, he shall pay double. If the thief is not caught, then the owner of the house shall appear before the judges to determine whether he laid his hands on his neighbor's property. For every breach of trust, whether it is for ox, for donkey, for sheep, for clothing, or for any lost things about which one says, "This is it," the case of both parties shall come before the judges. He whom the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. If a man gives his neighbor a donkey, an ox, or sheep, or any animals to keep for him, again, safekeeping, and it does, or is hurt, or is driven away while no one is looking, an oath before the Lord shall be made by the two of them that he has not laid hands on his neighbor's property. And its owner shall accept it, and he shall not make restitution. But if it is actually stolen from him, he shall make restitution to its owner. If it is all torn to pieces, let him bring it as evidence. He shall not make restitution for what has been torn to pieces. If a man borrows anything from his neighbor, and it is injured or dies while its owner is not with it, he shall make full restitution. If its owner is with it, he shall not make restitution. If it is hired, he came for his hire. Because even these laws, they teach us about Christ. And the principle that we find in these laws, it teaches the principle of redemptive works that our Lord Jesus Christ has done. So we have to pay attention to these laws, even though we're not required to do this way as we live our lives in this country. First principle is that here it clearly teaches that Christianity is not communism. It clearly teaches that God allows us to have the personal properties. We have seen this principle when we looked at the Eighth Commandment, so we will not repeat what we said there. When someone steals a man, meaning kidnapping, then he is to put to death. But when someone steals the property of another man, then the thief is not put to death. So again, we learn the principle here. The Bible never treats man equal to the properties. And we see here that Israel was different from all these other countries at the time. Because in all these other countries, if you're caught stealing someone's property, you are put to death. But not in Israel. And we already talked about the reason why. Stealing is sin, no matter what the reason. That's another principle we must remember. You cannot say, oh, because I was so hungry. That is not a valid reason for stealing. When you find yourself in that situation, please come to the church. We will help you to eat. Do not steal. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 to 10 says, now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruits of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. He says that, and right after that, verse 11, God says, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to the one another. And in Deuteronomy chapter 15, we have already seen this. We see that in every seventh year, there is a remission of debt. Why? Because all belong to God. And in those 7 years, if you had to borrow money, or if you even have to sell yourself as a slave, everything is restored on the seventh year. And we already saw this, right? This points to what Jesus Christ accomplishes. Our sins, Bible describes it as our debt. And because of what Jesus has done, our debt on the year of the Jubilee is all forgiven. And that's exactly what happened to us. God does allow the personal properties, but we must remember that we are His managers. Managers cannot use what belongs to the owner for his own gain. We must use everything for the glory of God. We must seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and we must trust God who has said, all these things will be added unto you. Our joy, our strength, our wealth is God Himself. And do not worry about what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear. God will provide. And God will provide through the church. If not, through other Christians. Church, we are required to help one another. If you are at a point where you have to steal something because you're so desperate, you're not that desperate, you come to church. God has told us that we must be content just having something to eat and something to wear. We are traveling through this world, and when we get home, we will have God and His kingdom as our eternal inheritance, and we already possess them in Jesus Christ. Now, remember this. I say this again and again. In the Old Testament time, it was a time in which the heavenly things were expressed in the earthly things. That's what Old Testament was all about. I give you many, many examples. When we talk about temple, it's actually heavenly temple. That is true temple. But that heavenly temple was expressed as an earthly temple in the Old Testament. Blessings, same way. Heavenly blessing is expressed in an earthly blessing in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, just the fact that you are being blessed by God was shown in you having so many things of the world. But that was Old Testament. But these simple people, they loved the world so much that they actually liked the Old Testament better. And they don't want to see, they don't want to treasure the true blessing, the eternal blessing of heaven. They really don't care about eternal blessings. They only care about earthly blessings. But they are the foolish ones. Because when that time comes, when it's time for us to go home, or when it's time for Him to come back, no earthly things will be anything to you. And if you spend your whole life focusing on gathering earthly things, when that time comes, you're going to feel so empty because you just wasted all your life. The eternal wealth was expressed with the earthly wealth in the Old Testament. They're simple people. But when Jesus comes and told them that now He came to give them the true blessings, the eternal blessings, these simple people, and we see these simple people in Israelites, they wanted this world more than heaven. They wanted the worldly things more than heavenly things. And they're blinded by their own wickedness, thinking the earthly wealth is the ultimate blessing of God. Thus they forget about heaven and the eternal blessing of God. And their whole focus is now on the earthly things. When we see these laws in our passage, we are able to see that in this world, there is no perfect protection or no perfect safety. The better world must come, and it has come in Jesus Christ. Why were these laws needed? Because it's not, even though it is God's kingdom, typological God's kingdom pointing to heaven, even though it was God's kingdom, it was not perfect kingdom. These laws were needed because people were stealing. And people were, you know, blinded by this desire to have the worldly thing. So from these kind of verses, even these laws, we must remember that the better world has to come. The Old Testament Israel, the Old Testament promised land is not good enough. Heaven has to come. And Jesus brought that heaven to us. Thus in Christ we have eternal wealth, the abundant heavenly wealth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 6, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So the true wealth, true blessings that God pour out to His people is now eternal blessings of heaven. The salvation is so that we could obtain this heavenly inheritance, which is imperishable, which is undefiled, which is not fade away. Every earthly thing is not forever. Everything that you own in this world, one day it will be all gone. It will be destroyed forever. We really need to understand what is important to us. I know this is not a popular message today, but Jesus did not come here to give us this world. He came to give us our eternal world, heaven. And the blessings that He pours out to His people is not of things of this world. It's heavenly things, eternal things, which is forever. See, all the earthly things are common grace, which means He doesn't just give those things to Christians, but He also gives to non-Christians. It really doesn't matter whether you're Christian or not to receive these earthly blessings. It's not as important as the eternal blessings of heaven. But if our focus as a Christian is on the earthly things, then we're going to lose so much of these heavenly blessings that God pours out to us, that you will be blinded by this wickedness of this world, this greed, that you may not be able to see the heavenly blessings, the true blessings that God pours out to us. Matthew chapter 6 verse 19 and 20 says, "Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Store up treasures in heaven, not in this world. You know, everything you gather, one day it will be gone. Everything that you raise up, it will be put down. Every worldly thing is not eternal blessings of God. But when it comes to worldly things, you must trust God. He said, don't worry about what to eat, what to wear, and what to drink. Our problem is not about not worrying about what to eat, but because of our greed, we want to have so much. That's why we worry, because what if God does not give all those worldly things that we want? But see, Bible continues to tell us that that is not our purpose. Our purpose is to seek His kingdom, not the things of the world. Now, am I saying that we should always live as a poor people? No. But what I'm saying is that it is okay to be poor. And it is okay to be rich. Because being poor or being rich, that is not our focus. Our focus is to serve and worship our God. And serve and worship Him and Him alone. You and I have become the citizens of heaven, and Apostle Paul describes us like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Do you understand? Do not listen to the world's judgment on you. Maybe the world thinks you are sorrowful, but we are always rejoicing. Maybe the world thinks you are poor, but we are making many rich by spreading this rich gospel of heaven. And many will judge you as having nothing in this world, and yet we possess all things in Jesus Christ. You know how much you already possess when it comes to heavenly things? You have His kingdom and His Himself as your eternal inheritance. Now you really need to live your life to show that these are precious to you. See, what if our life just shows that heavenly things are not precious, but earthly things are precious? What if that's our life's message as how you live this, your life in this world? That would be tragic. Because that is not our message. And your life must preach that message. Let me end with this. The principle of restitution. Here, paying double. One is for the property that is stolen, and the other is the penalty of the crime. Just like what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, paying double. One is to restore His righteous life, and the other is for the penalty. His death on the cross. This is what our Lord has done for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for His kingdom, in which these rules that we read is not necessary. No one will steal anything. No one will kill anybody or anything. Because the perfect harmony, the perfect peace, the eternal heavenly peace and harmony is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we long to see that kingdom visible. More importantly, we long to see Your Son Jesus Christ visible. Oh Father, come quickly. And until then, let us live our lives clearly showing to everybody that we have something that is so precious, far greater than anything of this world can give us. Let us show to the whole world that we are content, we are satisfied with Christ and His kingdom, and Him and His kingdom alone. We thank You and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.